Hi, I'm Aman.
I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Or try to, anyways.
Yeah. We try so hard. Okay, well, today, Aman, I want to wish you a very happy Ramadan, or Ramzan, and, as we call
happy
it.
Ramzan to you, too.
Ramadan Mubarak. Woohoo.
Woohoo, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So in celebration of Ramadan starting, we decided we wanted to talk about one of our absolute favorite comic book characters.
And one who's probably had the most impact on us personally, and that would be Miss Marvel.
Kamala Khan.
It's Miss Marvel, right? Kamala Khan. Not to be we're not talking about Miss Marvel Carol Danvers from way back in the day. We're talking about Miss Marvel Kamala Khan.
Also not talking about Kamala Harris, our current vice president. So
we're not talking about Kamala Harris.
And pronunciation is important. So our VP pronounces her name Kamala. The comic book character pronounces her name Kamala.
You know, I've never actually been entirely clear on that.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. I know. I mean, was...
That's how I read it.
Probably should have done our research before recording this. But anywho, I'm pretty sure that's the case. If it's not, I will correct
Kamala
myself.
Khan. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
I'm sure when the show comes out, we're both going to be like, oh my God, like, we've been saying it wrong this whole time. Damn it.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. Anywho, whatever. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Whatever. Kamala Khan, first introduced to the world in 2013 with writer G. Willow Wilson. You want to give a little background on the character?
Yes. So I believe she is Marvel Comics' very first Muslim character, which is exciting. And so she's like a 16-year-old kid from Jersey City, and she basically ends up getting these polymorph powers. She's like a shapeshifter, strong.
Yeah.
Person has healing powers, all this stuff.
Never been entirely clear on her power set, but that's neither here nor there.
I know she's definitely got healing stuff because she's part inhuman or something. So
yes,
yeah. Human. So she does heal faster than the average person. And this character came about because of a woman who works at Marvel Comics, who works at Marvel. Her name is Sana Amanat. And she essentially was talking about her own childhood and growing up in Jersey.
Yeah, and being a first-generation American of Pakistani immigrant parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And so she basically was sharing her experiences with other colleagues and stuff, and then they made it happen. They decided, you know what, why don't we have a character like this? And literally from right when they introduced her in 2013, I think they sold a record number of issues. She became instantly popular.
She became very popular very quickly. That's for sure.
Which is so nice to see, honestly. I mean, Aman, like growing up in the shitty post 9/11 world that we grew up in, it was really nice to see that. I was like, is it just going to be me and my brother buying this comic? I don't know. But it might just be us. So,
you know, like what was crazy for me, what got me excited was that this was the first time I'd seen a superhero that had a background that I could relate to directly. I mean, Kamala Khan is a first generation American of Muslim Pakistani parents. And we're first generation Americans of Muslim Pakistani parents. Uh-huh. Like, that was powerful for me.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was like, I don't care if I'm the only one buying this, I'm going to buy 10 of every issue if I have to keep this going.
Yeah, for real. I don't remember. I must have heard about this comic coming out because of you. I don't remember like do you remember how you first found out about? No.
You know, I think I happened to come across an article, and that all of a sudden it got me excited. And really, I would go so far as to say that Grounded Geeks exists because of Miss Marvel. As a kid, for me, I grew up reading X-Men and Superman comics, but it was in a really haphazard way because as kids, Lena and I used to live overseas. So it was really hard to you know, I have a ton of comics somewhere in my parents' basement where storylines start halfway and then I don't have the end of the storyline. Like, I don't know what happened with so many of these stories, but it was, so eventually it was like, this is impossible. I give up. And I stopped reading comic books. You know, I was still into movies and the cartoons like X-Men Evolution and all that jazz. That was my jam. But I had stopped reading comic books because I was like, this is impossible. It's not gonna, like, I can't keep up. And when Ms. Marvel came about, I was like, okay, now here I am living in the US. There's now finally something that is worth my time and effort. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started going around trying to find the comic book shops that would help me stick with every single issue that would come out. And for me, it was, you know, shout out to DC's Phantom Comics, because I've still got a pull list with them. They still send me, and even in the age of Corona, they still mail me my comics every month when I'm not able to go to the store. And that's what's made it easier for me to follow the storyline. And Ms. Marvel is the comic book character that made me come back.
So, I mean, growing up as kids, I pretty much just followed you around and copied you. So I would just read your, whatever, man. Okay. I was like, you're like fan club. Okay. So there.
You were annoying when I was 7. I mean, you know, you're cool now.
I think I'll admit it. I mean, adorable, but anyway, we'll let that fly. So anyway, I would read your comics. I remember reading all this Superman, maybe Batman stuff. I remember you had one comic. It was Superman battling Doomsday, and then he dies. Yes. And I was like,
it was the death of, I still have that. It was, it was a trade of the death of Superman storyline.
Right. So, but anyway, I used to read that as a kid, and then I stopped reading for years, like 10 years probably, you know, because comics has always, quite frankly, seemed like a boys club.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, you know, that's just been the history, unfortunately, of comics. And it's been very
self-perpetuating stereotype.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, a lot of people, I don't know. It's unfortunate that a lot of geekdoms and fandoms are like this, but they act very exclusive, which sucks. But anyway, when you told me about this new character coming out and this new comic starting, I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. I also was like, I need to get into this.
Yeah.
Then in 2013, at that time, I had moved to New York that summer. And so I remember it came out in the fall of 2013 because I had just started grad school there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being really nervous about walking into a comic book shop, and shout out to Midtown Comics and all their stores, because they're awesome. But I remember being really nervous because I was like, oh my God, I haven't even stepped foot in a comic book store before. Are they going to be mean to me? I don't know what's happening. But anywho, and I remember getting the first issue, and I remember going back to campus, and I was sitting in the lobby area of my journalism school and so excitedly reading the first issue.
Yeah.
And I also didn't realize that these issues are so short. I had always read, like, you had a lot of trades, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool, it's going to be like a book. But no, it was like, like a 12-page issue. So
yes, that is how comic books are.
Yes.
And, you know, it makes sense given the amount of effort that goes into writing and drawing and coloring and inking, 100%. You know, I mean,
it's beautiful.
Makes sense,
but
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I want to hear about what you felt when you first read those few pages, because for me, it felt like Kamala Khan, like I was her and she was me. And I almost, even now, years later, after reading the most recent issues, there's so many moments where I honestly feel like she's inside my head. And yes, I'm not 16 years old anymore, but there's so many themes that this comic touches on and this character touches on. And the fact that, and I also feel like there's a weird parallels between us, because she, Kamala Khan, also has an older brother. His name starts with an A. His name's Amir. And, you know, like, all this, yeah. I don't know.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. And I feel like their relationship is not too far off from ours. So,
a little.
Okay. No, I'm saying their relationship, not his personality. So,
I don't know. I think we're tighter.
Yeah,
you and me. We do a podcast together.
They've had bonding moments, you know.
Yeah,
she's only 16. We didn't, whatever. Anywho,
that's true.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, there's just been so many times where I'm just like, wow, I just feel like I'm her when I'm reading it. So
yeah, and that's powerful, right? I mean, imagine if we had that when we were 9, 10, 11 years old.
It would have changed my life, truly. It really would have.
It could have. It would have shown us what's possible for us to achieve, just as kids, you know? For the most part, growing up, the characters, at least for me, that I came across who looked the most like me were not, you know, part of the majority, were the X-Men. Yeah. And the X-Men whole franchise by design is supposed to be a metaphor for, how do you say, marginalized minorities, discriminated against minorities. Like that is what the X-Men is about. And for the longest time, those were the only comic book characters who I could form any sense of relation to. And I wouldn't say that I have an unhealthy psyche, but you know, like trying to imagine myself being 10 years old and trying to imagine myself as a mainstream superhero who is popular, not somebody who's doing good despite people hating them, which is admirable, and an admirable message in and of itself, which is a big part of what makes the X-Men the X-Men. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to do good in a world that hates them, basically.
Right.
But to have superhero representation as a kid where you're not a marginalized superhero, where you're not being told, hey, be a good person, even if everybody's telling you to go away, you know, it's powerful. And that was something that really, really struck me even before I read the first issue, because Marvel's advertising for this was, at least for comic books, was pretty big. I mean, they pushed this character a lot, and that got me really hyped before the first issue even dropped.
Yeah.
So it had an impact on me as an adult.
Exactly. You know? So it's and like naturally it would impact us.
How cool would it have been for kids to have that as kids?
Yeah. Which, kids are having, they do have it now.
And so now they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm so stoked for the live action show that they're do. They've already cast the girl who's going to play Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Literally, had I been like,
they're shooting already,
years younger, I would have auditioned for it myself. I'm just, oh my God. Yeah. I'm so excited about that. I think the whole cast that they've got lined up seems awesome. And
absolutely,
it's going to be so good. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's,
let me rephrase that. It better be so good.
Yeah, that's true. Please don't mess this up. Try not to. Yeah.
I mean, overall, MCU's got a pretty solid track record for not doing things terribly. But
I mean, and based on how the shows are going so far, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're going pretty well. Yeah.
There's still a part of me that's nervous, though.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I feel like throughout the history of movies and television, there have been so many instances where mediocre efforts in movies and TVs that have a central role for actors and characters who are minorities have been ill-served because studios didn't want to invest as much because they had their own doubts about how it would sell. Mm-hmm. And then using the failure of those because they didn't go all in as an excuse to not do more. There's just too long of a history of that. Mm-hmm. For me to not be nervous, quite frankly. I mean, they did great with Black Panther. They're doing a great job with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And when that first season ends, we'll have an episode on that. But so far, they're doing a great job. And so I have no reason to doubt Yu's track record to do a good job with Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. But I'm still nervous. I won't worry. Yeah. I'm still a little nervous.
I mean, yeah, geez. It's just, if you look at the history of how people of color have been portrayed, we have good reason to be nervous. So
Yeah.
But I'm still excited. When is that coming out? When is that show coming out?
There isn't an exact release date yet, I don't think, but they're already shooting. Maybe early next year, I'm thinking. Yeah. But yeah, one of the things that I also wanted to touch on with Ms. Marvel was the genuineness with which these characters come from. You could tell by reading it that these are characters that the writers, the artists, the people who are all behind this story are writing from personal experience. You know, they're not trying to pretend by putting themselves in somebody else's shoes to develop this character. They're drawing true, genuine moments. One of the first things that really struck me in the first or second issue was this like a dinner time conversation that Amer, Kamala Khan's older brother, and their dad are having at the dinner table.
Yeah.
All right. And it almost looks like a caricature. You know, it's an early issue. It's trying to introduce readers to this world. Yeah. And they're having a conversation about how Amer's not going out to get a job because he doesn't want to work at a bank and be involved with dealing with interest. Capitalism. Which, for people who don't know, in Islam, charging interest is actually considered a sin. So, you know, he's religious enough where he's like, I'm not going to do that. And his dad's like, you're a bum, you know, you need to still earn a living. So it was one of those conversations which almost has a caricature-like tone, almost. Now, the reason I say almost is because I'm reading this. I know what the writers are trying to do. They're trying to really throw their audience into this family dynamic, into a Muslim household, and using a very almost stereotypical conversation, except that I have all of these conversations that happen within the Khan family. I've either had those exact conversations myself, or I know somebody who has been involved in these conversations verbatim almost. And that's what gives it that authenticity.
And that's what, there was another scene where Kamala is talking to one of her best friends, Nakia.
Yeah.
And so Nakia, she wears a hijab. And which I also, another thing that I love, showing the range of Muslims and the various forms they come in.
Yeah.
Some women wear hijabs, some women don't, you know, whatever. So in one of the issues, they were just showing this quick conversation. They were out walking somewhere. And then Nakia tells Kamala, I got to go home now. My parents have guests from Turkey coming. I got to go be that dutiful daughter. And that was another instance where I think maybe some people are like, oh man, that's so stereotypical. But I've legit said things like that to my own friends. Like, oh God, I have to be a good daughter now, you know? And that's just, it's also like a reality. And I love how they've done a really good job over the years of just weaving in these family scenes. They also throw in words in Urdu in there. And they don't even try to explain what it means, which I'm like, awesome, love it, because from the context you can figure it out, you know.
Yeah,
but
especially fun for us because you and I speak Urdu, so reading it, we know what those words mean,
right?
And it's a nice little Easter egg for us who are coming from that culture, and in this case actually the exact same culture. There was even a story about, you know, like the main character's grandmother leaving Karachi, and our family's from Karachi.
Not leaving Karachi. Weren't they leaving India to go to Karachi?
They were leaving India and they ended up in Karachi.
Because during partition. Partition and all that. Mm-hmm. So I loved that. Loved how they brought the history in. And also, so just going back to the whole throwing in Urdu words and not explaining things, I've also noticed that in general with a lot of writers of color these days, whether it's in books or other kinds of literature, I feel like there's this new, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like a trend where a lot of writers of color feel or like have realized that they don't need to explain themselves, right? Why are we constantly explaining ourselves? We don't have to. Writers have always kind of told their own stories, and we've appreciated those stories, and we've been able to relate to those stories. So why, obviously, you know, if you write a book in a totally different language, you'll need a translation, but you know, but in terms of little things like this, you can pick it up, you know, you understand it. And
you can bring your audience into that world, whether when I say world, I mean either a fantastical world, an alien world, or just a culture that's different from what you're used to. A good writer can bring their audience in without spoon feeding them.
Right. You
know? And that was actually one of the things that I thought that Ta-Nehisi Coates did with the Black Panther run, where he took the legend of Black Panther and all the storylines and everything, and he really built out the world of Wakanda in a way that felt authentic and genuine, in a way that hadn't really been done before. And in that same way, I think that the writers of Ms. Marvel have been doing the same thing, obviously not with the fictitious world like Wakanda, but with a real culture, you know, that exists, pulling people in, showing them the depth of it, you know, and it's not just that they're weaving this immigrant Muslim experience into Kamala Khan's story. They're not weaving it in. It is intimately part of the fabric of it. It is. You can't have the character of Kamala Khan without her specific family obligations that are tied to it. I mean, it is her story. I mean, it is like having a Peter Parker. It's like Peter Parker being a high schooler, you know, and having the obligations of school and hiding who he is from Aunt May, you know, like. It's hard to, you can't pull those two things apart. It's like having, it would be like having Tony Stark as Iron Man, but ignoring the fact that he's filthy rich.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like it's deeply woven into the identity of these heroes.
Yeah.
And I like how they handle it with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. And I have to give it to Marvel in general. I think they do a really good job of basically creating worlds where it's like, what would a real Pakistani American teenager be dealing with while also trying to become a superhero? They do that really well. They do, you know, same with Spider-Man, Iron Man, all of them, like Cap, all of it.
Like Stan Lee used to say back in the day, that Marvel is the world outside your window. You know, he wanted people to look outside their window and be able to imagine Spider-Man swinging. Through the streets of New York. That was his whole thing. And I think that as time has gone on, as the idea of, as immigrants have become more prominent in America, in American culture, I think that there has been a realization that, hey, maybe that world outside your window is a little bit bigger than people may have originally thought. And it is. It is bigger. Yeah. And I like that Marvel has been, over the last decade and a half or so, let's say decade or so, has really recognized that and has really tried to make that window really anybody's window.
Yeah.
You know, it's what made Miles Morales, Spider-Man, so good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now all of a sudden, it's not just people in Midtown Manhattan who are looking out their window, or in random parts of Queens, looking out their window and seeing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, but maybe now people who live in Spanish Harlem and Washington Heights, looking out their window and seeing somebody who maybe looks a little bit more like Miles Morales.
Yeah. I mean, and now, you know, Kamala Khan's in Jersey City.
It's
really expanding it.
Yeah. I know this is hard for New Yorkers to believe, but there are people who choose to live in Jersey City, and it's okay.
Yeah.
They're cool too.
Yeah.
Sorry. Exactly. Random dig at New Yorkers. Can't help myself.
But yeah, I mean, it's also just, okay, let's talk about even from a business standpoint, whether you're Marvel Comics or any sort of corporation or any company that's just trying to tell more stories, why would you not want to dig into this whole treasure trove of other stories, you know, yeah. not just of people of color, but people who are queer, people who are dealing with, you know, disabilities. You know, there's so many stories to tell. You know, there's, we've barely scratched the surface. And yeah. Marvel Comics has been around for what, 80 years, something like that?
Yeah. Something
they
like
want
that.
To be around for, and they know this. They, as you said, like this is something they've been working on for the past decade. But if they want to be around for another 800 years, this is the perfect thing to do. You need to, there's so many more stories you can tell.
I mean, truly, like Marvel Comics releasing a story about a superhero who lives in Jersey City, who is the first generation American. Whose parents are immigrants from Pakistan, created two lifelong purchasers.
Yeah, really. We've literally purchased, you know, every single issue.
In some cases, more than once. And the only reason we did that is because we wanted to read Ms. Marvel stories. And then obviously we got into other stuff, Black Panther, Thor, you know, Captain America, like all that. We got into all of that because we were like, all right, can't miss out on Ms. Marvel.
Right.
That is why I went to the comic book shop every week.
Exactly.
To pick up. You earned a couple of lifelong customers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of this one storyline, you know?
Exactly.
Like, who knows what influence others may have had. I can imagine somebody being like, oh man, Sam Wilson is going to be the new Captain America. Let me start buying that comic book.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's another comic book reader out there.
Right.
This is how you do it. It's business.
And the reason why we keep coming back is, like we've said, they really honor the character and where they come from and their history.
Yeah.
And when I say history
matters.
Yeah. And when I say history, you know, I mean like the history of that people that you're trying to represent. You know, we said they had it was multiple issues that was about the history of partition and the Indian subcontinent, you know, and Kamala goes and visits her family in Karachi, Pakistan. And that was awesome. That was so cool to see.
I mean, and then when they introduced Lal Kanjiri,
yes,
AKA Red Dagger.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was like, what?
Yeah. I was like, oh shit, Karachi has superheroes. Like,
yeah. Awesome. I mean, until that moment, it honest to God just never crossed my mind. The option of superheroes, or, you know, vigilante superheroes. I actually not sure,
like,
if he has superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he has superpowers per se or not, but I just never imagined it in that context.
Yeah.
I feel and like
he's
all
like
of a
Batman.
Sudden,
he's just very skilled in other regards. He's like Batman in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know enough about him. Anyway, he should have his own spinoff series.
He should. Yeah. He should. But, you know, it's expanding that world in an authentic way. Yeah. You can't just say, oh, here's a character of South Asian origin, here's a character who is Egyptian, and not have writers and artists who understand what that means at a deeper level.
Right.
It's not just about figuring, it's not about coming up with a storyline first, hero, villain, action, resolution, save a bunch of people, and then figuring out how to weave in their identity in between. Mm-hmm. You got to start with who is this character first?
Yeah.
You know, you got to come up with an identity first.
Yeah.
And then come up with a storyline and see, how does this full and complete person navigate this particular problem?
Yeah.
And that's what, so often in the past, there's been a lack of authenticity from that stand.
And, you know, I have to say that I really, really appreciate that, especially for the first actual issues coming out and in the beginning. Yeah. And, you know, they've had Muslim writers, which is great. I think the writers, especially when you're kicking this off, I think it makes a huge difference getting Muslim writers, first of all. They weren't necessarily Pakistani, you know, but they still understood the Muslim aspect, which can be kind of universal across a lot of Muslim
cultures. And it was very clear that they were talking to people of that background as well.
But I also want to point out that I don't think all the illustrators, the people who do the coloring, penciling, all that, they were not Muslim. And that is perfectly fine. You know, my argument is never that, oh, only Muslim people can do Muslim things or write about Muslims or draw Muslims or whatever. But the thing is, you have to do the research. Like, yes, you can't, and that's what helps obviously make it authentic. And you need to do the research like you would research anything else. Like, okay, but, you want to write a story about time travel? Okay, read up on physics or some shit, you know?
But it's not just that. I would actually argue that it has to be a deeper level of research than that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it has to be deeper. But I'm saying that there are so many movies and TV shows where there's so much research that goes into really minute sort of details, which always make movies and TV shows better. But there are too many movies and TV shows where they've completely glossed over an entire ethnicity. Or an entire
I mean, group it's, of
people, and they don't do the research on it. They don't even try. And it's so easy for us to see that. Like, it's so easy for the audience to see that you did not give a fuck about this ethnic group, and you didn't bother talking to anyone from that group.
It's not even just ethnic groups. Like, I think that a lot of veterans experience this.
Yeah, for example. I'm just,
you know, like, anybody who's a veteran looks at, can immediately tell who's done their research or not on any time somebody, a soldier, is portrayed. They just look at him and they're like, your uniform is wrong. Like, you're not wearing that shirt right.
That's true.
You know, like, little things like that that could be easily addressed or are just glaringly obvious to people of that group. It shatters the illusion.
It shatters
the story.
Yeah. To clarify, I was using ethnicity as an example, but so true. Really applies to any group of people, especially if they're underrepresented in general.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to really briefly touch on also was the mythology aspect real quick, which really struck me when Saladin Ahmed took over as writer for Ms. Marvel is so if you look at Superman, all right, or if you look at Neo from The Matrix, it's so obvious that they are, it's not just obvious, it's baked into it. They're following this very Christian mythology mirrored arc, you know, Messiah, savior, coming to save the world type of arc. And you see these sorts of things that happen again and again, like Justice League that we talked about not too long ago. There's three mother boxes who are forming the Trinity. There's so many things in our subconscious that are just there. It's, I'm not saying that these are religious, that the religious iconography is intentional or that is the goal, but subconsciously these stories exist in our mind so deeply that it's there.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed with Saladin Ahmed's writing was that he has started to bring in a different kind of mythology.
Yes.
That is coming from an Islamic perspective. Like, they go to an alien world and all of a sudden the planet is called Safa, and the names of the aliens seem to have a more
Muslim sounding names,
Muslimish Arabic tinge to their names. And I thought that was great. I thought it was a great way to change up the mythology in which you're addressing something. And I think that is such a big and deep part about expanding the representation that exists, is hitting on different kinds of backgrounds, different kinds of history, different kinds of, I almost want to say ancestral knowledge, history. You know, the tales that we grow up with, the tales that form the foundations of who we are, of our moral systems, you know, building stories out from different perspectives of that.
Yeah.
I think is so critical in building a broader, more diverse, more authentic world of fiction,
I was just listening to a podcast earlier today. It's called Throughline. It's from NPR, and they do deep dives on different sort of things, that either events or people in history. So this episode was about Octavia Butler, who was one of the very first Black science fiction writers. And she is sort of seen as one of the first people who brought in Afrofuturism. And now there's other writers who are bringing in a whole new kind of genre of novels that are called African futurism, I think. And it's also very similar, where it's trying to, because thank you colonialism for completely trying to erase these histories and these mythologies that come from other parts of the world, you know, but these writers have kind of pointed out, and you know, I include Saladin Emma in this, as they're bringing to light that there are other mythologies or other histories out there, yeah, and they run just as deep, if not deeper, than all the kind of
than anything else
Western histories and mythologies that we've heard. And it's awesome to hear about it. It's so cool to learn about these different histories.
So yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome.
And I think we've made a good point here that everybody should go read Ms. Marvel and watch the new show when it comes out.
Yeah.
Actually, and thank you all for joining us on Grounded Geeks.
And happy Ramadan.
Ramzan Mubarak.